This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. You're listening to Power Perspective with Denzel Taylor. 8 p.m. to midnight.
My next guest is Vino Pillay. Vino Pillay, president of the International Women's Federation of Commerce and Industry SA and global leader for World Speech Day Women, recently received the Transformational Leaders Award at the 5th Pan-African Transformational Leadership Summit in Cairo, Egypt. Honored for outstanding work in advocating for and supporting women entrepreneurs in the country. The award recognizes also the significant contributions of Pillay and other women in the business sector towards gender equality and transformation on the broader continent. Let me bring her into the conversation. Vino Pillay, welcome to Power Perspective. Welcome to Power 98.7.
Hi, Denzel. How are you?
I'm really, really good. And yeah, congratulations, firstly.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Were you in Egypt to accept? Were you in Cairo to accept?
Yes, I was. Yeah. And while I was there, I was very busy inviting everyone to South Africa.
As one does.
Yes.
So let's talk about, before I talk about all the other things, let's just talk about the award first. It's the 5th Pan-African Transformational Leadership Summit in Cairo. And of course, honored then. And I suppose there would have been various other awards as well. And then you would have walked away with this particular one, or was this it?
This was the one award that was awarded to about 20 women from different parts of Africa.
Yeah.
And it was for our contribution to advancing gender equality in Africa.
Sure. I've just been speaking to Sassel, who've been advancing gender equality within the game of football, and as a sponsor over that particular time. Do you have, you know, playing in that particular field of transformational leadership and you know, gender advocacy and gender equality and promotion of equality in those particular spaces, just touching on the previous conversation I would have had, do you have an opinion on why women footballers are still paid less than their male counterparts and what your view on that is? I just want to pick up on a conversation I've just been having.
Oh, that's difficult for me to, to be honest with you. I don't follow sport.
No. I'm talking about the equalities aspect.
Sure. You know what? I think it's, you know, it's because of South African society, where ethnic groups have clearly defined gender roles, and it's about trying to level those playing fields and make things right. And I guess, as your previous speaker had said, you know, so much of it has to do with funding. And we find ourselves in the same place. We have lots of plans. There are lots of opportunities to help women and to help them grow. And in our space, you know, in the area of trade, but you need funding to be able to do that. And you need the support of not just government but corporates as well.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the roles that you play, and then I want to get to the award. President of the International Women's Federation of Commerce and Industry SA, talk to me a little bit about that.
Sure. So the International Women's Federation of Commerce and Industry is more than 30 years old, and it was established in Melbourne, Australia, by Ms. Diana Abruzzi.
Yeah.
It's a non-profit, non-governmental, member-based organization that was established purely for the purpose of ensuring that women have a place in commerce in the world. And at that point in time, it was very, very male-dominated. And, well, today it stands first and foremost, you know, as an empowering opportunity for women to meet and engage with other entrepreneurs to grow their businesses. And, you know, this is done through our summits, our networking events, our trade missions, and so on. And in with respect to South Africa and the South African chapter,
I was about to ask the South African aspect of it. How big is it? And just give me some insight into that.
Okay, so we are still very much in our infancy because we established as a non-profit company in April 2022. In September 2022, I went to Singapore where we had a signing ceremony and where the High Commissioner of South Africa to Singapore was present, Her Excellency Charlotte Lobe, who was there to support me and who has continued supporting me since then and is our patron. And she has also introduced us to Deputy Minister Pinky Kekana, who has also become our patron. So from that point onward, you know, I think that set a lot of things in motion for us, where we had a trade mission from Singapore to South Africa last year, where IWFCI was very active. But also, while I was in Singapore, we were then invited to host the Global Women's Trade Summit in August this year. And that's a very significant event. It's probably the first time we will be hosting it in South Africa. It's the eighth summit that's being, you know, hosted globally, and probably we may not get another chance to host one for some time to come. So in the interim, we've been putting lots of programs into place. We have our social impact partners, who are the Charlotte Manya Makeke Institute and the Agri-City Farming Project. We have Rui Sewing Cooperative. We have members that we are helping, small-scale members. It's a mother and daughter team, you know, who's producing jewelry to a corporate member that has 393 members of their own. And we've been busy with all of them. So that's the one thing in terms of IWFCI South Africa. And I think you also wanted to know about my other roles. Am I right?
Yeah, I'll get to that. Let's just talk about August and the summit in August. Who can come? Who can invite it? What kind of entities, organizations, or individuals should be interested in it?
Anyone who's interested in networking, in business matching, in doing business with other African countries and with our sister chapters, which are in India, in Australia, Singapore, Malaysia, Japan, Indonesia as well. We have chapters in 14 countries. Some of them are not active at the moment, but we have a number of chapters in Asia. So anyone who's interested in doing trade or in networking or doing any kind of business, be it a corporate, an SMME, or government, we would love to have them. We have a fantastic lineup of speakers. We have about 30-some-odd speakers there participating in panel discussions. We'll have opportunities for exhibitions. We have an entrepreneurship competition. We have the Gauteng Growth and Development Agency that's planning a business matching session on the 27th, and the Gauteng Tourism Authority that's offering a complimentary hop-on, hop-off, tour of Johannesburg to our delegates as well. So it's exciting. We have lots and lots of support, from our provincial entities, and as well as the National Conventions Bureau. APSA is also a sponsor as well. We are looking forward to it, and we are quite excited about it.
Let's get to some of the other. There's the Global Lead, and I'm interested to find out, where this goes. World Speech Day. National Ambassador and Executive Director of World Speech Day, also Global Lead for World Speech Day. Is this primarily, targeting the youth, or is it, a national, event international event that looks at, speaking out generally, and maybe not the youth, but focusing on the youth?
So this is actually targeted at women.
Okay.
So World Speech Day in itself. So I'm actually going backward now. My role in IWFCI emerged as a result of World Speech Day Women, which resulted because of World Speech Day that was set up in 2020. I've been involved in since 2016. And our focus has been on youth empowerment for World Speech Day, where it was meant to be an annual event of speech making, but because of my passion for the nonprofit sector and combining that with my digital marketing agency as well as public speaking and confidence building, I decided then to set up a nonprofit organization, and we expanded it from a year. From an annual activity of speech making to advocacy and connecting youth across the world through global digital debates. But then in 2019, we then launched the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals Book Club. And the reason behind this is it was an opportunity to promote active citizenship, promote advocacy, but also to hone in on the importance of the SDGs and our youth understanding the pivotal role that they have to play in helping realize these SDGs. And then from there, in 2020, at the beginning of lockdown, or just prior to that, on International Women's Day, I thought it might be good to heed to the United Nations Women's Call through their Generation Equality campaign, where they have this 12 Small Actions campaign. So I launched a podcast series, and this was in response to the call to invest in media produced by men and women to advance women and girls. And so I thought, why not do this through podcasts? So we had about 20 podcasts, but in that process, it also then served as a springboard for other partnerships, with other countries. And that's what led to the growth of that's how World Speech Day Women was born. So World Speech Day Women is actually administered under World Speech Day South Africa, but it is the women's empowerment pillar of World Speech Day Global. And we are recognized as a United Nations Generation Equality Commitment Maker for providing advocacy under the theme of feminist movements and leadership.
I get the providing of a platform, locally and internationally and through the UN as well. So the platform is there, and the building of confidence and capacity either within the youth and or with women. So I get all of that. What is the essence of World Speech Day? What is promoted? What in essence does one want to achieve with World Speech Day? Is it to speak out? Is it to address various issues, locally or nationally or internationally? What is the essence behind it?
So it's most definitely a global initiative, and we've had over 100 nations participating. And it's, if you think about pre-COVID, during COVID, it became very much the norm to engage virtually. But that wasn't really it wasn't done to that extent, in pre-COVID. So the intention behind World Speech Day was initially to encourage youth and adults as well to share their thoughts and ideas for a better world. And it was to promote, confidence building and, the ability to provide advocacy, even though that's not the terminology we were using then. And it's where I started, but just from my own personal perspective, I wanted it to be more than that. And I believed that it was a platform that we could, we could shape into what we wanted to. And I say this because I have been really fortunate to do this under the guidance of Mr. Simon Gibson, who is the founder of World Speech Day. And essentially, when he gave me the opportunity, he gave me a blank slate here in South Africa to pursue it in a way that works best for us. So I saw it as a way for us to do this for the youth, to get youth involved so that we get them to understand, you know, their role as active citizens from very young. And we've seen lots of benefits. So just to let you know, 5 years down the line after establishing our very first SDG Book Club, we've now been given our second grant by the National Lotteries Commission, and this is to set up 50 reading corners in over the next year, and our plan is to set up over 100 over the next 2 years, and it's being very well received. We are targeting villages and rural areas, and we get a lot of support. And you see young children, you know, there's nothing nicer than seeing young children coming together and reciting the I Am an African speech when Thabo they didn't Mbeki. Even know what it was. And suddenly it promoted their desire and urge to learn more about their heritage. I mean, that's the feedback we got from the kids. They didn't know. Many of them were not born in 1996, you know, when the speech was put out in the newspaper. So, yeah, so those are the wonderful things that came out of it. And then with World Speech Day Women, we've had some really, really fantastic initiatives. So I have participation from Barbados and Mexico, Germany, going across to Singapore. We've had many countries participate, universities in Morocco, the chambers of commerce in India as well, and then and even IWSAI has been very involved in WSD Women as well. And we've seen some really fantastic, incredible collaborations, all of which I'm very, very proud of.
The book club and getting people to read and getting youngsters and, you know, older generations to read as well and recite and all of that. Is there an intention to get it, you know, broadly into the educational curriculum maybe so that, you know, it forms a part of, a formal component of that particular space?
Yes, yeah, so just 2 weeks ago we had a meeting with the Provincial Department of Education in Gauteng, a wonderful lady who's actually helping us connect with communities in that, you know, in the district that she's in, and then she's going to help us, you know, take this out to other districts as well. And then we have Makapan Start in Northwest Province. We have a champion for WSD. Their name is Molly Modise, and she's taken this to so many schools in that area, and so the Department of Education is already involved, and of course we would like to see that expand further, and to have their support I think is really wonderful, because then we know, yes, we do have we will have a place in the curriculum, you know, in time to come because of their support. And in addition to that, we also have a partnership with Nali Bali, who is already actively involved in promoting reading, and over and above that, we will have the President's Award for Youth Empowerment, where we plan to integrate this, you know, giving, you know, participants of the President's Award the opportunity to set up these SDG book clubs, run it, and empower people in the community to take over the running of the book club so that it becomes sustainable.
What happens now after the award, Vino? You know, honored, of course, for, you know, the Transformational Leadership Award at the 5th Pan-African Transformational Leadership Summit in Cairo, Egypt, and then honored for work in supporting women entrepreneurs in South Africa and women in the business sector and gender equality and all of that. What happens now? How do you take that and you know, elevate it within the space that you're already working, or, you know, how do you see it, you know, recognizing the work that you still to do instead of recognizing the work that you've already done?
Right. Yes, now to me, that's what the purpose of this award is. It's how to help us take the next step forward. And that's how I view it. It's for the organization. And just this morning, I was having a conversation with the global chairman, Ms. Diane O'Brusi, and she asked me, she said, you know, you're not overwhelmed with all that you have to do, because I'm putting many things into place and I have a lot of support in doing so. And I said, not at all. I love doing what I do, except when we don't have funds to do it. Yeah. Other than that, I'm happy to do the work. So I was explaining to her that while I was in Egypt, I had just had a meeting with the head of department at the Ministry of Investment, and she's bringing 12 businesses over to South Africa during the time of the summit. We have the Asia Business Hub that's bringing 20 businesses over from Singapore during that time. But and that's in addition to all of our other chapters and the interest that we are getting. But within Africa, beyond the summit, my role is to grow IWFCI in Africa. And that work has started already, because while I was in Egypt, yes, the award was a nice to have, but even better were the connections that I was making with the ambassador of Liberia to Egypt, who is keen to, you know, to enlist the support of her colleagues in, you know, in the various departments in Liberia to come on board, you know, to collaborate with South Africa. And we had a member of parliament that was present from Rwanda, who said they are happy to engage. It was the most wonderful thing ever, you know, to approach women from different countries and say, I'm from South Africa, I represent IWFCI, we are very passionately growing, you know, putting programs into place to grow the women in our country, particularly those from marginalized groups. And they were immediately, you know, interested and keen to collaborate and talk. And it wasn't just talk, because we've been following up on it since then. So that is where we are going. We want to take IWFCI South Africa is the gateway chapter into Africa, and we want to make this work in South Africa and beyond. We're going to do this through the support of the network of chapters in other countries.
Vino Pillay, I'm going to say thank you for coming on to Power Perspective. And I'm also going to say congratulations again. And you're like me. When I'm in a different country and I'm talking to people, I invite them to this place called South Africa. And I proudly invite them and I say, please visit, please visit. And, you know, and I do that. Vino Pillay, congratulations. And thank you for coming on to Power Perspective tonight.
And Denzel, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Vino Pillay, President of the International Women's Federation of Commerce and Industry, SA, and then also the Global Lead for World Speech Day Women. You heard her talking about that, receiving, of course, just now recently, the Transformational Leadership Award at the 5th Pan-African Transformational Leadership Summit in Cairo, Egypt. Honored for work in advocating for supporting of women entrepreneurs in South Africa, also significant contributions of all the women in the business sector towards gender equality and transformation on the broader continent as well.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.